This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
7:36, Thursday, 1st of December, and you're listening to The Morning Run. But now we shift our attention to Taiwan's local elections that happened over the weekend. The ruling Democratic Progressive Party, or DPP, suffered its worst defeat in 36 years, holding on to only 5 out of 22 municipalities, down from 6 in 2018.
In response to that, in tradition, after a major loss, Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen resigned as head of the governing Democratic Progressive Party. She had recast the election as being more than a local vote, saying the world is watching how Taiwan defends its democracy amid military tensions with China. The main opposition party, Kuomintang, or KMT, rose to victory in the mayoral and county elections, winning 13 of the 21, including the capital, Taipei.
So what does this pan-blue dominance in this local election signify? And could the Democratic Progressive Party rise from the ashes in the 2024 presidential polls? For some answers, we speak to Brian Hugh, co-founding editor of New Bloom magazine. It's an online magazine covering politics and youth culture in Taiwan. Good morning, Brian. Now, the ruling DPP party only won 5 out of 22 municipalities, as we said. Is this result of the local election surprising? And how different was it from the 2018 elections?
Yeah, so the results are actually not as surprising to me, and I think many other analysts, because the DPP has always struggled in terms of local elections. It is a party that emerged from Taiwan's democracy movement, whereas the KMT, the former authoritarian party, has had entrenched networks in local areas in Taiwan going back decades. And so by virtue of being a newer party, although it has been around for some decades, the DPP has often struggled when it comes to these kind of local networks or mobilizing voters at the local level. The DPP historically does better on national level elections, such as for the legislature or the presidency. Oftentimes it is raising the question of China, in that the KMT is the pro-China party. And so because voters are often concerned about that, then they do swing towards the DPP in kind of national elections. Compared to 2018, there's not as much panic, despite the fact that this is a historic low, because there is no phenomenon of a very popular KMT candidate emerging and potentially becoming a very powerful presidential contender. It's still a question of who will run for president in 2024 for both parties, but this phenomenon has not repeated itself. In that sense as well, for example, though there is a decline and the vote disparity is different, there's lower turnout. And I think that because in 2020, the DPP did win quite handily, there's a notion that, for example, compared to 2018, the same scenario might occur where the DPP does well in 2024, though it was punished at the midterms this time around.
And Brian, what was the DPP being punished for in this election?
So often it was economic issues, in the sense that Taiwanese voters are concerned about sluggish economic growth. And though there has been growth because of the fact that Taiwan was not as affected by COVID as many other countries, this has not trickled down to average voters. There are other issues that are returning to, for example, Taiwan's aging population and declining birth rate. So how do you take care of the elderly? And how do you provide opportunities for young people, for example, when they cannot afford housing or their just economic outlook is not as good as their parents? And so these are issues that both parties are aware are problems, but they propose different solutions. And ultimately, I think voters are not too happy with what the DPP is doing now. They hope for something more concrete from the party, rather than just touting itself as an alternative to the KMT regarding cross-strait issues of the China versus a kind of Taiwan sovereignty issue.
Now, these local elections also witness a tsunami of scandals on plagiarism and corruption. Do you think these tactics have been effective, and which party actually benefited from this?
Yeah, that's right. So this has definitely been an issue, particularly for the DPP, because its Taran mayoral candidate, former Hsinchu mayor Ling Zhijian, was forced to withdraw from the race after plagiarism accusations against him for his thesis for his master's degree. And so his academic credentials were stripped, and this led to him withdrawing. And so this is thought to be a contributing factor why the DPP could not hold on to Taran or to Hsinchu, which are particularly Taran is a key area the DPP was trying to hold on to. And in that sense, then, there were other scandals that emerged after. Particularly, there was a wave of plagiarism scandals targeting both KMT and DPP politicians. But I think the DPP acted too slowly, and so it actually still affected the DPP more. It is quite interesting, actually. There's such an over-focus on educational credentials in Taiwanese elections that there are a number of corruption scandals that hit KMT politicians, but this did not prove an obstacle to their being elected, actually.
And Brian, a referendum on a proposed constitutional amendment to lower the voting age from 20 to 18 fell short of the threshold needed to pass on Saturday. Why hasn't this gained traction in Taiwan? And were all parties in favour of this?
Nominally, both parties were in favor because of the fact that it is Taiwan has one of the world's highest voting ages. Out of 190 countries, for example, 90% have the voting age as 18. But historical polling, poll after poll for the last 20 years from both political camps shows that the public actually is not so supportive of lowering the voting age. There's a view, for example, that this is still too young. It is actually quite ironic because of the fact that young people can already vote for the referendum if they are between 18 and 20. What they cannot vote for is their choice of elected representative. And so both the DPP and KMT did ostensibly support this, but the DPP is much more supported by young people because of rising trends in Taiwanese identity and growing caution of China among the youth. And the KMT would not be as benefited from the lowering of voting age. So despite that, they did support it as a party that had less than 9,000 members under 40 2 years ago. They didn't really campaign very hard on the issue, but the DPP also was a bit sluggish. It only really started to lean into the issue very late in the campaign cycle. And that was another contributing factor, the low turnout that could not meet the benchmarks for the referendum passing.
Okay, President Tsai, I mean, let's go back to her narrative, which was that this local elections was also meant to be a message against Beijing's rising aggression towards the island. Now, why did it fail at this local elections? Or is it just only specific to local elections? Or is it a general sentiment across Taiwan?
Yeah, local elections are much more about domestic local issues. And they're not about cross-strait issues. And so when the DPP tries to introduce this frame, this cross-strait frame that it usually depends on to win the national elections, let's say presidential and legislative, voters are not always very happy with that. They view this as evading these kind of local issues that DPP should focus on and is trying to wave around the fear of China. And so Tsai did try to introduce this late into the campaign, as did other DPP politicians. There's also the attempt to attack the KMT regarding corruption. But I think particularly voters were not happy with that. They wanted much more concrete policy from the DPP rather than bringing up China and the threat of China as a way to avoid concretes. And so I think that is really what voters were reacting against in this sense. But I also do think that the international community will interpret the elections as though this were some kind of is in reference to China. That's something that's a little concerning to me because that's not what they were about, actually. It's very much about local issues.
So is it comparable to the US midterm elections then, which is also very domestic focused and is often seen as a protest vote?
Yeah, I would say so in that sense. I think particularly then, what's interesting to note is that though, the quote-unquote midterm elections for Taiwan, they take place much closer to the presidential and legislative elections than U.S. midterms. It's only 13 months away, for example, that the next presidential and legislative election will be taking place. And so the outcome of these quote-unquote midterms will actually have a kind of very direct impact, I think, on the next set of elections.
And Brian, President Tsai has also resigned as head of the ruling DPP. How will this impact DPP's prospects in 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections and the party's choice of a presidential candidate?
That's right. So I have also a major impact there because it is a question who the DPP will be running. One of the front runners is the current vice president and former premier, William Lai. But Tsai does not prefer him. Lai tried to challenge her for the presidential nomination of the DPP in 2020. I don't think she's ever forgiven him for that. And so she prefers candidates such as Taiwan Mayor Chen Wen-chan or the former vice president Chen Jianren. But it's a question then, because after having resigned as party chair to take responsibility for these losses, her ability to impact the choice of next presidential candidate is much more limited. She'll continue to be a powerful factional leader within the DPP, but she won't be as powerful. And so I think this really does increase William Lai's chances of becoming the next presidential candidate for the DPP.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Brian Hugh, co-founding editor of New Bloom magazine, giving us his views on the recently concluded local elections in Taiwan. Up next, we'll be speaking to Adib Zalkapi, director of Bauer Group Asia on PASS. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.